Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Yes, welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show. My name is Dr. April Brown, and I'm wanting to welcome you guys here for the second show, the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. And on this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections with your significant others, children, family, friends, business networks, community, and your higher power. We give you the secret power to intimacy. So in our last show, we talked about the different forms of intimacy. And at the last part, we talked about self-intimacy. And that self-intimacy, that is being able to look inside yourself and learning how to be intimate all the way through mind, body, spirit, and soul. And so today, I have a special guest who is dealing with and helping with and helping you learn about intimacy, self-intimacy, and a healthy lifestyle. The person that I have today is Tim Shevlin. He is the owner and primary exercise therapist, nutrition, and personal trainer at Matt Lachey Wellness Center, a native of Pine Island, which is near Matt Lachey here in Southwest Florida. And he has definitely deep roots here and feels a strong tie to the local community. He has so many certifications. He's a certified fitness trainer, a certified nutritionist, a certified exercise therapist. He's also interested in cognitive behavior therapy group. He's a facilitator, and I'm a great believer of that. He also does mindfulness. So he's a mindfulness body, a mindfulness MBSR instructor, and a corrective exercise specialist. Welcome, Tim. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yes, yes. So I'm so interested in talking with you today about this healthy lifestyle and how this relates to intimacy and that kind of stuff. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, yeah. My background, I started going to college with the focus on becoming an orthopedic surgeon. I went to the University of Florida, started medical school, and I severely injured my lower back. I saw a couple neurosurgeons. They recommended. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I saw a couple neurosurgeons after I injured my back. They both advised that I not exercise. I shouldn't have surgery, but I also shouldn't exercise or really do anything. I just need to take the rest of my life very easy and basic. Well, at the time, I studied.
That would be devastating for you.
It absolutely was. My entire life at that, well, for the about 4 or 5 years prior to that, it was involved. My life was surrounded with exercise, running, being active, working out, all that kind of stuff. Mm. So it was very devastating. And at the time I thought, well, I knew enough about the human body that I should try to rehabilitate my back on my own. It 2 years I wasn't in daily pain, but after the 2 years, I got to a point where I felt pretty good. I still have permanent nerve damage in both my legs, which may or may not ever come back depending on, you know, medical advancements. But I lift weights very heavy every day. I, you know, feel great. And it's brought me to where I've become, or where I am now. And basically what that did is it got me into, I decided not to pursue a career in medicine, but instead to get into more a holistic approach, a preventative approach to healthcare. And, you know, I started that 20 years ago, and I've owned gyms and other things since. And it's just kind of all brought me in this direction and brought me here.
Wow. So, Tim, let me ask you a question. And start. We're going to start off with, like you said, you were very physically active, and then you're a college student, which I'm assuming around, what, 20, 21, 22? And then you have this about what, 23?
I was about 22, 23, right around there.
Okay. Then you have this devastating thing that happens to you. And I'm a believer it starts in the mind first. So one of the things I want to ask is, how did you overcome that in your mind to even, because some people, when they're, something happens, they're not resilient. They just like give up. How did you overcome that in your mind?
From when I was growing up, I was always overweight. And I was told, I was picked on, I was told things about myself that I would never achieve. And, you know, by peers, by friends, you know, I was just kind of a fat, dorky kid. And I got to a point when I was in high school where I decided that no one was going to decide my fate. I was the only one who could decide that. And so if something was challenging.
I'm curious, how did you even come up with that idea? Was it something your parents taught you, or church, or friends, or school?
You know, I think it was probably a combination of both. I know I watched my dad achieve great things, coming from nothing and achieving great things.
Right.
And that was a big part of it, you know, just looking up to him and seeing that he never quit with anything.
Okay.
And, you know, striving with that same kind of focus, I was, you know, really just one day I decided I'm done with this. No one's going to decide. You know, I played football in high school, but I was not very good. Okay. And then my junior year, I decided, you know what, that's it. I'm going to start really applying myself. I'm going to get where I want to be in life, and no one can tell me what I can and can't do. So over the summer before my senior year, I, you know, worked out every day. I ate right. I started reading books on health. And, you know, I lost 50 pounds over the summer. And I also happened to grow 2 inches that summer. Okay. And I came back and I was a different person. And from that point forward, you know, I knew I could, anything I put my, I went from not being very good at football to making the all-star team in Lee County, and being mediocre at track and field, and being ranked number 2 in the state of Florida for throwing discus. So I went, did all that in 1 year's time. So I've really, ever since then, I don't know what, like I said, it was probably a combination of my dad, my grandfather, a little bit of, you know, with, at the time I was, and still, I, you know, went to church every week, and I was very, my faith was very strong. And, you know, I knew that, I really firmly believed and still do that I was able to, you know, I could achieve anything I truly put my mind to.
Yes. So as our audience are out there listening, and of course they may have some kind of struggle going on in their life where life just hits them and knocks them down, what tips can you get to start just in the process of the mind? Because everything else, the body, the food and all that works from there. What tips can you give them to help start first in the mind?
You know, I think a lot of times you have to decide that you want to make the change. I think that's kind of the biggest key, is making that decision. Once you make the decision, then it's all about kind of changing your habits, changing your lifestyle, changing your thought process on something. You know, so if all of a sudden, it's kind of, are you familiar with the Feeding the Good Wolf story?
No, tell me about Feeding the Good Wolf.
Oh, so there's this, it's I guess it's an Indian story, but I'm not sure where it's from. But A grandfather's talking to his grandson, and he says, there's a struggle inside of him. There's two wolves fighting. One of them is good and happy and love and caring and empathy and compassion. The other one's greed and guilt and suffering and pain. And, you know, the young child says, which one's winning? And the grandfather says, the one you feed. So from that, I use that a lot in my life. And if I focus on the positive, if with this injury that I had, if I was to focus on that I'm never going to be able to work out again, that I'm never going to be able to do the things I want to do anymore, you know, I would still be at that place today. Instead, I looked at what I still have. I was still able to walk. Right. I was still able to make up my mind and decide that I wanted to make the change, you know? Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, if you focus on the good things, the positive aspects, you know, that makes a world of difference. And that allows, once you decide that you want to do it, and then you start focusing on the positives, and the positives will take you on the path to get you where you want to be.
Wow, yes, definitely. So you said, first, you have to be willing to change, accept it. And then you said, of course, it's just that determination to go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you said the word acceptance. That is, that's one of the most important things I feel in life. You accept your situation, and then you can change it. If you don't accept it, you can't, there's nowhere to go from there.
Right, right. And you also highlighted the importance of being thankful. Points of gratitude, yeah, of how that definitely works in that process, you know, because you do have to be thankful for the things that are coming up, you know, the things that you have, so you know what your strengths are, because that can help you definitely overcome a lot of your weaknesses. Yes, right. Yeah, so definitely. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I noticed that on your website you've talked about, and even through your intro, mindfulness and cognitive behavior. And I would definitely want to touch back on that as we go more into being intimate with the mind, body, spirit, and soul. Okay. Well, on this little commercial break here, I want to introduce myself a little bit to you guys. My name is Dr. April, and what I do is I help people with relationships. So sometimes if you feel like you're in a relationship with someone and you feel so disconnected with them, what I do is help people become connected. Because if you guys remember, when you were born, you were partially connected in this world with through the womb. And so the introduction to intimate connection started at birth. But however, in this busy world we have today, sometimes through all the social media, we've lost disconnected. We've lost connection. So one easy way to start connecting with people that are close to you is just sometimes giving a smile, giving a hug. Okay? Those are just easy ways to sometimes connect with the loved ones that are in your life. All right. I just wanted to give that little tip there. And so now, Tim, I noticed that on your website that you talk about mindfulness. Can you explain how that even relates to what you're talking about, but even that next part, because we are talking about the healthy lifestyle, how it relates to physical and what you eat and all that other stuff. I want to get into the meat and bones now.
Mindfulness, I feel, was a life-changing discovery for me. It really was. And the more I've gotten into it, basically mindfulness is the practice of being in the present moment, accepting and acknowledging everything that's going on around you at that time, and being non-judgmental towards all of it. Just being. That's the key to mindfulness. Yeah. And it's really, you know, it brings you, the key to it is it brings you in the present moment. And the reason I'm the MBSR, that's mindfulness-based stress reduction, because stress typically, stress and anxiety does not really live in the present moment. It lives in the past. It lives in the future. Not so much in the present. So
can
the whole
you
idea behind
that
it
again? Can you repeat that again, just so our audience really hears that?
Stress and anxiety typically lives in the future or in the past. It rarely lives in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And when you can get rid of all of that, just for the moment, that's all we have. That's all we're guaranteed. That's what is there. So when you accept it, enjoy it, acknowledge it, when you're truly present in the moment, that's what life's all about. And that's kind of, you know, that's why I got into it. I got into it as a recommendation, actually, from a therapist that I see on a personal basis. And it was just, it was life-changing. And it became so important to me. And in the beginning, you know, being mindful for 30 seconds was difficult. My final exam for the mindfulness certification was a six-hour meditation. And at that point, 6 hours wasn't that bad.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. Yeah. And so as people are sitting there thinking about mindfulness, because it is very hard. I mean, as a therapist, I know and I talk about it. And many people have a hard time staying in the present moment. Yeah. Right. What is your tip you can give them to help them stay in the present moment?
The biggest thing, the way I start all of my mindfulness groups is bringing attention to your breathing. So if you can just sit there and breathe in and out, notice the air going into your lungs, feel the way your chest feels as it's expanding and going down. There's a lot going on. It's a lot to focus on. So that's a good way to kind of center yourself at any time. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You can always bring your attention to your breathing. But a good way to get into the practice is, and I use washing the dishes. If you can do one task every day, being totally mindful, and washing the dishes is a great one because, again, there's a lot going on. You don't really enjoy washing the dishes. You're not doing the other things at the time. So why not really center yourself? Notice when you're, you know, how does the plate feel on your hand? Is the water warm? Is the water cold? Does the texture of your skin change when there's soap in the water? All these different things to notice. It's just so much going on. And how many times have people washed the dishes and never, they couldn't answer one of those questions.
Right.
You know, so pick one or two tasks throughout the day. Do it on a daily basis. And you'll notice, even just by doing that, without adding any real practice, the rest of your day will slowly start becoming more mindful. You'll become more present.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, because I know you're big on nutrition. And so I'm assuming many times when we're eating, many times we're not mindful of what we're eating. We're just...
Oh.
Yeah, tell me how does that play a role?
You know, it's almost another reason why I got into the cognitive behavioral aspect is most of the people that I see that come in with weight problem, it's not because they just love food so much they can't stop eating. It's not that they don't know what they're doing. It's that they're eating emotionally.
Right.
And I've tried to incorporate this in to almost all of my nutrition programs, because when you can sit there and really be mindful and notice what you're eating, you know, if you want to eat a McDonald's cheeseburger, that's okay. But make a conscious decision to do so. Know that you're doing it. Don't just go through the line, shovel it in your face, and an hour later not remember it. It's a lot of times, you know, I'm in recovery from heroin addiction, and I can relate a lot to food addiction because it's the same thing. It's just most of the time they've chosen a more acceptable outlet, more acceptable addiction. Mine put me in jail and risked death. Theirs gets them in trouble, but it's 40 years from now when they're looking at some health problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does that do to your body when you, and there's many of us who are sometimes so busy and we eat so fast, we're not mindful of what's going on. What does that do to your digestive, I don't know, system?
Well, typically, right off the bat, you're not chewing your food enough. The first part of digestion is the saliva in your mouth, breaking
Okay.
down the food by chewing and introducing enzymes that will break down the food through the saliva. So right away, you're not chewing food the way you're supposed to. Your
Okay.
body, because you're not acknowledging, what you're eating, you're just kind of doing it. It doesn't prep the body the same way. Your pancreas is not going to do everything that it should be. It shouldn't. You're not going to have an acidic enough stomach. There's a lot of factors that are playing roles that when you're not fully acknowledging something's going on, your body doesn't fully recognize. As you said, these things start in your mind. And
Right.
if you're kind of in denial, or let's not say in denial, but you're not even acknowledging that you're eating something, your body will respond that way. It doesn't truly, I mean, it's still to some degree is like, yeah, there's food coming in, but you're not eating. So what do we do? It's not being a cohesive, you're not being a cohesive unit. You're separating the parts, and we don't work that way. We're one unit.
Yeah, I
So,
never, yeah.
I mean, just with that aspect, I mean, you're really starting to mess with the digestion, the nutrients you're extracting, and different things like that. And especially now, with there being less and less minerals, especially in the foods that we're eating, we need to extract everything we can out of the foods we eat, just because, the lands have been mined to a point, or stripped basically of minerals. So we need to get everything we can out of it.
Okay. So, what would be your suggestion for those who are struggling on the nutrition aspect? What are some tips there?
Well, I do a mindful eating course, and we start
Oh.
with a gra or a raisin. So you get a raisin, and you look at the raisin. You hold it in your hand, you smell it, you roll it around your fingers, you really sense it, and then you slowly put it in your mouth, let it sit in your mouth. And the whole idea is you take about 5 minutes eating one raisin. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get to a point where you taste the sunshine that dried that raisin out. You want to experience that. Food has so much to offer, and food is very good. We really want to experience it fully. So, just in that aspect, in getting a better experience from eating, it's going to be more, almost sensual food experience if you keep trying to really focus on everything that went into creating that one item. I mean, it's amazing when you can eat something and taste the sunshine or taste the rain. I mean, it's an experience.
Yeah,
So
definitely.
that's try to my recommendation is when you're eating, try to really focus on the food and get deeper. Don't just take it for face value. Try to really experience everything it has.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I can just even see how, like you said, just spending the time focusing on the food and where it came from and taking your time. And like you said, taking your time to chew will help definitely help bring even more gentleness to your body in the sense of how the food goes down and stuff. Yes,
Absolutely.
definitely. Yeah. So we're going to about take a little another short break, and when we come back, I would like to even expand now to the next level of the physical part of what you do. And so, Tim, I would like for you to, because we have like a 15-second commercial, I would like for you to take this commercial and tell us a little bit about what you guys offer at Matt Lachey Wellness.
Okay. At the Matt Lachey Wellness Center, we try to cover everything we can holistically. We do massage therapy, physical therapy, personal training, exercise therapy, We do facials and skincare. We use all an organic skincare products, product line Eminence. We really try, and of course the mindfulness, we really try to cover everything we possibly can for overall health and wellness, all focused on a very natural approach. We're not, I don't push supplements. I don't like that stuff. I'm really about and down to earth as possible. And all that you can collect. We're kind of a one-stop shop, I guess you'd say.
Fabulous. Yes, yes. And I love that idea because I think it all, well, I don't think, I know it's all connected. Definitely. Yes. So can you share with us the next aspect of this wellness as we're talking about, basically, in the sense of the body? We had talked a little bit, of course, about the mind. And we talked about the eating, and we're talking about wellness. And so in dealing with wellness, I was wondering, for the physical aspect of wellness, how does that work in your facility? And what do you guys do in helping people have more connection with their body and wellness?
Well, the physical aspect is, you know, huge as far as overall health and wellness goes. Nutrition plays, I feel that nutrition and physical fitness basically play about equal roles in overall health. So we try to take it from whatever level someone's at, the very basic to advanced, and we take it step by step at their pace and really try to. The thing is, I do everything on a very individual basis. No one is cookie cutter. Everyone is so different. So, and it's hard to say just the physical is by itself, you know, because it can't be. Everyone responds to different feedback. Everyone responds to a different growth period. And we just take that one by one and we try to help teach people how to exercise better. We teach people how to, you know, follow a program and how to be disciplined. Accountability plays a huge role in it. It's a, you know, it's a very big, it seems simple, but there's a lot of moving parts for each individual person to really make it work. And I don't know if I really answered your question best in that one, but as I'm thinking about it, that's where my head kind of starts going.
Okay, so like you said, it's more of an individualized approach when it comes to wellness.
And yeah, you have to look at what's going to work best for you, you know, for the individual. You have to see what, everyone is so different, you know, that it's hard to pick up a magazine and say, you know, well, Gwyneth Paltrow does this, so I can do this. Well, chances are you can't. You know, most people have to work. Most people have very different lifestyles than that. You know, magazines aren't going to do it. You know, you've got to look at yourself. You've got to say, okay, what's realistic? What can I do that's going to be sustainable? How can I find an accountability partner? All these things, because in the beginning is the most difficult part. I believe that you should go. Not a big fan of maintaining, but that's just because, you know, that drive kind of gives you a little bit more more life, we'll say. So anything that can add to that, you know, is going to be helpful.
Yeah, I know. Even for myself, I've lost weight years ago, and then just trying to maintain, and even recently I put on weight. It is an individual process. But I guess I've heard, like, there's certain standards, maybe, I don't know, that I, like, in myself, I feel like you have to work out 3 times a week. I don't know if that's true or not. And you have to do cardio and muscles and,
well,
I don't know.
I will say 3 times a week seems to be the magic number. When you do that, you do notice better results. But if 2 times a week is the only all that you can do, you know, that's what you need to do. And same with cardio. I mean, cardio, ideally, if I could put someone on the ideal program, and let's just say they're 50 years old and no more than 50 pounds overweight with no serious health conditions, I would say 4 to 5 days a week weight training, 4 to 5 days a week cardio, 2 days off a week where they just do nothing. You know, that would be ideal, perfect, number one. But it doesn't always work that way. So you've got to do what you can that works.
Right, right, right. And I do think, kind of like what you were saying earlier, and I'm guilty of it, is that in the workout, maybe you should also be mindful.
Right.
through the motions, you should actually be mindful of it. Is that...
Yep.
Does that
when
make it
you better? Are, oh, absolutely. When you're mindful during your workout, your muscles will get so much of a more effective workout. You're better able to focus on them. You can understand them. You really get to, I mean, honestly, you get to know your body at that point. You're really becoming, you understand your muscles, how they're working. And that's all because you're focusing on them through mindfulness. Mindfulness during your training makes a big, big difference. Okay. It really does.
Okay. What are your thoughts on what people should be? Should people just work out and be mindful, or should they listen to stuff, or how does this all the mind, but how does it all kind of?
Well, that all depends. I would probably say if there's a type of music that someone likes, that would be good, but that's good as it comes in to help kind of keep other sounds out. So just think of that as background noise. I wouldn't recommend listening to a podcast or anything like that, because then you've got to focus on what they're saying. What you want to do is you want to be inside of your body. You know, music if you like, you don't want me, but you really want to be focusing on the muscle. You want to picture, especially things like, everyone can see their bicep and they know what it does. But how many times have you thought about the muscles in your back and what they look like and what they do? So it's difficult to contract those muscles properly if you're not really focused on it. So by being mindful, you're able to focus your attention to those muscles, to really feel what they are doing, and you're going to get a much, much better workout. Otherwise, when you go to train back, you're going to feel 90% of it in your biceps and forearms, and you're not going to train your back barely at all.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, the other day I was trying to listen to a podcast and work out, and you're right. Yeah. Your mind is not there. I didn't even go as fast as I needed to go. It was just off. So,
yeah.
Definitely, yes. Yes, I definitely think that is something. And so how, I know one of the things that has been said, if when, in the sense, because this show is about intimacy and about connecting and that kind of stuff. Do you see that when people work out together, is it better versus when people work out alone or when they work out with their partner or family?
That's an interesting question, and there's a lot of different answers to it. To me, one of my very favorite times of day is when I work out. I love it. I love the intensity of it. And the only time I'm going to work out with someone is it when I care deeply for someone, because it's my favorite time of the day. It's the most important thing to me. It's like my rest time, my free time. You know, that's what centers me right there, is when I work out. So if I invite someone to work out with me, it's because I care for them and I want to experience that, my favorite time of day with that person. I think a lot of people, an accountability partner, which I think is good. They have someone else there, because if they meet someone else, they're probably not going to, you know, not show up. They're not going to skip that day. The problem becomes when you're working out with someone else, are you focused on just talking and, you know, being a social gathering? Or are you really focused on helping each other get better? That's kind of the key. If you are more the kind of person that you go to the gym and you sit there and talk for 2 hours and you work out for maybe 5 minutes, you know, you're probably better off working out on your own. But if you can get an accountability partner where it's not just they're accountable for you to show up, but they're also accountable for you to push yourself and to focus and to work out hard, that's the kind of accountability partner you really need in your workouts. So it kind of depends. Most of the time I work out on my own just because I don't want someone to be distracting me. And if I do choose to work out with someone, it's because I want to spend special time with that person.
Okay, yeah. And so one of the things that you were saying right now is that I guess it just kind of depends on the accountability partner and what the purpose of you guys going out and working out together, whether you're, like you said, just socializing or whether you're both keeping each other accountable and motivating one another.
Gosh darn it.
Yes.
Sorry, my connection got bad again for a minute.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. One thing I do want to give out is our call-in number. If anyone has any questions, they can call 888-627-6008 to call if you have any questions about anything we are talking about. But as Tim was talking about now is having, when you have someone you're working out with you, it's got to focus on what the purpose is. If you're just out there working out together and you're socializing, and you're talking, you're not getting as much in as if you're keeping each other accountable and pushing for the motivation. Is that what you were basically?
Right. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So I noticed you said that it's your favorite part of the day is working out.
Yes.
For some people, and I will include myself, I haven't got to that point that it's my favorite part of the day. I know that I need to get to that point because, as we talked earlier, it's all about starting here in the mind.
Right.
Yes. I try to work out early because I'm an early morning person. So, and I'm a believer you have to do the things you don't like to do early in the morning. Look at that. Yeah. Yes. But so there's a lot of us who are out there trying to work out, but we don't love it. How can we work toward that in our mind and body and spirit?
Well, I think the starting point is to focus on what you do like about it. If there's, now there might be zero you like about it. And if that's the case, then what are you trying to achieve by doing it? Do you want to look better? Do you want to feel better? Focus on those goals.
Okay.
Focus on something. Focus on the best part about it. Whether you, let's say you like bicep day, or you like getting a smoothie afterwards, or you like that you are working on your heart health. Whatever that may be, focus on that and really focus on it. And every day, it's kind of like, it's almost going to be affirmations for your workout. It's like going to the gym and saying, I'm doing this because I love myself. I'm doing this because I want myself to feel better, to be where I want to be. And the more you focus on that, it's going to be like any other affirmation. After a while, you're going to start feeling it. So it's, you know, you just have to start and find the things you love and go from there.
Right, right, definitely. And so we're going to take a short little break again. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about incorporating all of this here. Well, in my little break here this time, I want to talk about something that is coming up next summer. It's called vacation counseling. And if you're wanting a vacation in paradise, one that will rekindle the passion that has been lost, a vacation without kids, a vacation where you learn how to communicate, a vacation where your partner actually hears you and gets inside, vacation counseling is your next vacation. Vacation counseling is a brand new, exclusive, private, personalized couples retreat, one couple at a time, at a 5-star vacation rental home in Paradise, which is here in Cape Coral, Florida. At vacation counseling, couples meet with a set of dedicated, experienced, and effective therapists in their luxury vacation rental home. Vacation counseling will start summer of 2020, and we're only choosing 7 couples, 5 couples for a weekend retreat and 2 couples for a week retreat. After a careful selection process, the chosen couples will participate in a one-of-a-kind custom program that will address their respective concerns. So as you're listening and you're hearing about vacation counseling, stay tuned because you're going to hear more about it, and the website for it will be up very soon. All right. So, Tim, we have been talking about a lot of things, the mind, the body, the spirit. And actually, let me talk a little bit about the spirit aspect. Yeah. How do you see that in relation to everything that you're doing, the spirituality of the mind, body?
I feel that everything really, all of those things are very important in life in general. And the spiritual aspect, you know, it can kind of find its place in all of it. I feel that, you know, the mindfulness, of course, it can be a very important component, at least for me. The exercise aspect, you know, as far as the spiritual aspect goes, if I don't be careful, if I'm not careful and I don't make sure that I stay in touch with my spiritual side, my ego starts to take over. It is very easy. I start getting a little too carried away in the gym. I start getting more focused on myself than I am in helping others. And things go downhill very quickly. So the spiritual aspect of all of this is very important for me, as it helps keep things in check. You know, it keeps me, again, I've said this a few times, it helps keep me centered. And it's very important to me, you know, keeping balance and keeping focus and making sure that I'm focused on the right parts of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just mentioned an interesting word, balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Balance is difficult for me to keep. I want to go 100%. Whatever I do, I want to do 100%, or I want to do it not at all. Balance is difficult.
Well, you're an all or nothing type person.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's, you know, that's my norm, is not to have good balance. My norm is to either work out 20 hours a day or work 20 hours a day or do drugs 24 hours a day. You know, it's whatever, right. The main, you know, whatever I'm doing it completely. But what I found especially with my spirituality is including balance in my life. Trying to be okay with the fact that I only might work for 8 hours today. Being okay with the fact that I might skip a workout today because it's more important for me to be with my family. You know, it's just making sure that I stay on point and keep that good balance. Because once I start getting out of balance, you know, it's just, again, it's a slippery slope for me.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I think that life has to be balance, but it's hard because sometimes, like you said here, besides we're supposed to love our higher power with all our heart, mind, and soul, the other part of loving your neighbor as yourself. And what I see sometimes, many times, we're either too focused on helping everybody else and then we forget about ourselves, or we're all about ourselves and we forget about others.
Yeah.
And how can we that balance?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have a way of how people track themselves? You know, I don't know, I'm a kid of the 90s, and it's like, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Do you have any tips on how do you check and making sure that you're balanced?
I have people in my life that I'm very close to and that I trust. And with these people, now they're guys and then my wife. Okay. They're people that I trust, and they, you know, we talk about different things, and they're people that I've talked to about, you know, needing them to kind of, if they see things going a little slightly awry one way or another for me, you know, they'll let me know. And my wife, of course, she sees me more often than anyone else, so she's the easiest one. But I've got a couple friends as well that if they see me doing something a little, you know, you really think you should be, you know, working this much or whatever it might be, I listen to them. I don't get defensive. I've set that in place. It's kind of like a security blanket for me.
Right.
And I find that that, again, that's accountability. And I find that accountability for me is really important.
Yes, and you've mentioned that a couple of times now about having an accountability partner or someone that you're accountable for or accountable to, and vice versa, and how that definitely helps, you know, yeah, definitely, and keeping everything balanced and that kind of stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Has there been anything? Oh, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, it's very easy for me to rationalize non-healthy lifestyle. It's healthy for, it's easy for me to rationalize eating a McDonald's cheeseburger when I shouldn't. You know, it's easy for me to rationalize anything. Whereas someone else looking at my life says, you know what, that's not really the best move.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's different. It's good.
Right. And I do think accountability partners are a great way for us to be connected to ourselves and connected to others. It gives us more, like you said, there's other eyes and other ears to hear things to help us keep balance. So, Tim, I know I've asked a lot of questions. Has there been anything that you wanted to share with the audience that I have not talked about?
I don't know. You definitely covered, you know, covered a good portion of what I do. I mean, I think the important things, you know, really with all of the most important things with health, wellness, their balance, they're getting to know yourself on a deep level. You know, they're accepting yourself and choosing to want to make changes to improve your life. I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's not, you know, people come in and see me and I've got a mohawk and I'm 280 pounds and muscular and all this stuff. And it's not about any of that. That's just, you know, I like it. But it's all about being kind to yourself, loving yourself, and giving yourself what you deserve. You know, you don't have to numb yourself out with food. You don't have to mindlessly do things. Or it might not be food. We all have, not all of us, but most of us have some kind of compulsive behavior that's, you know, harming us in some way. And especially right now, I mean, I see more and more people are becoming diagnosed with diabetes, and it's just becoming, well, we'll just give you a medication, you know, we'll just put you on insulin, no problem. You know, it's amazing. Diabetes affects you on many, many different levels. I mean, blood stops flowing, your legs stop working. And that's, you know, I deal with people like that every day. And it's sad, and they didn't expect it to happen. And it's a very slow thing that happens. And day after day, you'll be like, well, I'll start tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow needs to be now. Yeah, I was very fortunate that my compulsive behaviors were immediate and got me in a lot of trouble. Because if it would have been food, it's, you know, 40 years from now, it might be too late. You know, you have to love yourself. You've got to treat yourself the way God intended you to treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with a lot of respect. We treat our cars better than we treat our bodies on a daily basis. And that's, you know, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that part of it is how we grow up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that health wasn't a big part some decades ago. And so, you know, but cars and keeping your cars clean has always been a big part. And the house cleaning and all that, you know, from way back when. But that wasn't a big part in a lot of people's childhood and even in my own childhood. And so it becomes a pattern that we just eat like we did in childhood or what our parents did. And all of a sudden now, and as you said earlier, the food is less healthier than it was back then. You know what I'm saying? So we're getting bigger and bigger and more diabetes and more other illnesses.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yes. So even as we've been talking about this, I do also think that if you're a parent, and I don't know, are you a parent?
I am. Have a
2-year-old. Yes. But it's how also we teach our kids how to take care of their body.
Absolutely. Definitely. And teaching someone, or even if, you know, without teaching, learning how to cook, you know, start with whole foods. You know, most of the store, it's all stuff that's ready made. And that's, you know, that's where the biggest harm is. You're a lot better off cooking with lard than you are cooking with some kind of hydrogenated vegetable oil that's made in a lab. You know, natural stuff, learn to cook yourself, have some fun with it.
Right. By any chance, do you have any tips on that? Or resources? Or any resources at all you want to share?
I have a lot of different resources on my website.
Okay, what's your website again?
Videos. It's www.shaywellness.com.
Okay.
But, you know, the tips I have to give, they're very basic. It's stay to the outside of the store. If you have to cook it yourself, if it's already made, don't buy it. You know, you're going to end up saving money. You're going to get better food. You're going to feel a heck of a lot better. It's amazing. Once you eat clean for, let's say, a couple weeks, then you eat something bad, you feel like garbage, and you realize that that's how you felt the whole time.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Well, thank you, Tim, so much for being on the show, for providing us for all this different information. You blog on your website, or is it another place where you blog?
I blog right on the website, and also have I put YouTube stuff and different stuff like that, so it's on my website.
Okay. And if they went onto YouTube and they look for Tim Shevlin, they'll find information also?
Should be Tim Shevlin or Matt Lachey Wellness.
Oh, Matt Lachey Wellness. Okay. So, yes.
Yeah.
Please, guys, if you're listening, check out Tim Shevlin at Matt Lachey Wellness. He's been giving us great tips, and he has many more tips out there for you. And if you're in this local area of Southwest Florida, check it out. It's in Matt Lachey, which is, of course, nearby Pine Island and Cape Coral. Thank you again for being on the show. You're welcome
thank
back.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Wonderful. And thank you.
Yes. And this has been the Bring Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thank you.